Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at locomotive sports, live from Las Vegas. We like to start off our usual technical difficulties, so again, live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Great guests with us tonight. former Las Vegas Motor Speedway announcer, Chet, with us tonight.
Yes, here I am. I'm good. Sorry about that. I was fighting these headphones over here. Apparently, I'm not qualified enough to handle headphones.
It was a test. You passed.
Well, I was failing there
you
for
passed.
A while.
No, we failed your test.
Hosting tonight also the one and only JJ Nunn.
Yeah, I want to welcome Chet Christner in studio again.
Thank you.
Just happened to be coming off of how many races you broadcast?
I mean, we were over 140 this year with Speed Shift TV.
Well,
yep.
I'm glad you made it back here for the holidays.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
We won't want to forget the man on a mission, Gary White.
How you guys doing?
Good.
The old man on a mission.
You know, that's
easy.
I just want to throw this out there that I was thinking whenever I came in tonight, I'm glad if I'd been like 50 years old or something, I probably wouldn't have made it over the threshold.
I'm old to need some assistance or something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you 50 now?
You're not 50. You can't be 50.
Well, you're right. I'm 46.
You don't look a day over 51.
You have a new introduction now, Mike. The old man on a mission.
You heard it from Jay, okay? Hey, let's give you your minute of bitch session. Okay, go ahead. We'll let you get it out of your system real quick. No.
I'm not bitching.
No, hey.
Not at all.
If anybody,
I could.
If anybody should be, it should be the old man, right?
Oh, it just started.
I'll tell you, it's been 16 years. I've been used to cranky and looking forward to 17. This just isn't because he turned 50.
Okay.
Trust me. You see this gray hair? I didn't have this 16 years ago.
Yeah, everybody thinks I got gray hair because of my age.
You tried
dealing with JJ.
I got pictures of you.
With gray hair
before I even showed up.
Bring them in. I want to see them.
Okay.
Yeah, the evidence. Exhibit A.
I'll post them on MySpace page.
Right? Okay, I'll go look.
Hey, Chet, it's been about a year now since you've been on the show last, believe it or not.
It has. It's turned into a little bit of a tradition.
It's tradition. Welcome, believe us.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
have you here every year.
As I was driving in, I assumed that the neighborhood back here is always decorated for Christmas. Like,
right.
It just never changes because that's the only way I ever see it.
Right, exactly. The time you come through, it's always Christmassy.
No, it's good to have you, man. Every year.
Well, thanks.
It definitely was sign-in date. You know, you ever come into Vegas, let us know, man.
Well, I always look forward to coming down here. It's fun.
You know?
I haven't seen you guys, well, once a year now, but don't get to see your race anymore or anything like that. But, yeah, I look forward to this.
Well, you know, I can announce a former Las Vegas Motor Speedway announcer. Just how long has it been? About 9 or 10 years since you started?
This was actually, I still work for Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I do a couple big events a year for them, but
so
not
former,
like I used to.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
easy there.
Wrong.
Well, maybe I got fired and didn't know about it. But the I still do the Duel in the Desert and usually the Cup race, and I was doing the truck race. I wasn't able to do it the last 2 years. So
then you went to the
Duel
in the
Desert,
right?
Truck race.
Oh, you
missed you out there.
And,
yeah, no, we
oh,
went,
you went
to
the Duel.
Both of them, truck race and the Duel.
Yeah. So
yes.
No Chet for the truck, but
yep,
for the Duel.
Chet for the Duel.
I was there for the Duel. Yep. We had a good time. I had man, I'm trying to think how many cars we had total for that. We were over 200 total on the modifieds, but it was only about 19 cars down from last year, so it dropped off a little bit. Track out there's been rough. They've been fighting it for a couple of years, but I think it's starting to come around. This year was 85% better than it was the year before, so I think we're moving in the right direction now.
Well, they actually trucked in some dirt from what I hear, I guess.
Yeah, they brought 120 side dump loads in and work the material around. But turn one was giving them a little bit of a fit, which it always, you know, and that was the thing is I think back even years and years and years and years ago, whenever the track was really good, it was still an issue in turn one. They always fought turn one. So I don't know if it's something, if it's an artesian spring under there or yeah. what's going on, but there's something.
Indian burial ground.
Yeah, there you go.
It's cursed.
What do you think, Chet? What your ideas, you've been all over the United States.
I think everybody should send me a dollar.
Okay.
What do you think we can finally fix
give
that?
A penny for
it. You know, I remember 2 years ago, yeah. it was turn three. You know, they had mm-hmm. a camera pitched out there with launching.
You know, and it's
you've
one
been
of
around
the,
so many dirt tracks.
Yeah, but I don't profess to know dirt track prep, and that's I've talked about that in the past, and it's not a science. I think it's a magic, knowing what to do with that stuff, and it's different out here in the desert. And that was the thing for years and years and years. A lot of racers were saying you have to bring in a sheep's foot. You need to get a sheep's foot. We use sheep's foot all the time, and you couldn't find a sheep's foot in the Mojave Desert. Well, they finally found one out. It was at King Speedway at Hanford, California. Scott Woodhouse found one out there, and they trucked it back up here, and they tried it, and it did not work. All it did was just plug up with the material that's out at the track. And so we learned why you don't find sheep's foot in the Mojave Deserts, because they
don't work
here. Yeah, it's just totally different. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I said, I feel like it's going the right direction. I feel like next year is going to be even better. And once they get that turn one area taken under control, the rest of it was phenomenal this year. And we had great racing until the feature events. And then you throw, you know, 28 cars out there and somebody's got to go somewhere and they go through the hole. And as soon as the first one hits the hole from there on out, it's downhill.
It just spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads.
Even though you're not a dirt expert, you have been around obviously quite a bit of dirt racing. Do you see some of the same effects back east or even south from here at other tracks where it dry slicks and then you start getting the ruts and things like that?
You do. And
I don't want to criticize either. You know,
but
I mean, you know, it's experience and everybody knows it out at the track.
Yeah, and you see it. Every track has issues at some point, whether it be in the spring or the fall or after heavy rains. You know, that's why it's dirt. And it's one of the things that if you want your track to be the same all the time, then go asphalt racing because it always looks the same. You know what I mean? And that's one of the challenges of dirt. But it's like, you know, if ask any good racer and they'll say, well, a track that has a little character, it's the same track for every racer that's out there. It doesn't change for each racer. So everybody's trying to race on the same thing. So the first one that figures it out is going to be the guy that goes forward. And a lot of times you see the true talent rise to the top in races like that, you know, and that's why Jeremy Payne has won 5 of the 19 Duel in the Deserts that we've had. I mean, he knows that track. He's got an eye for that track.
Is that something that you do hear, like at different tracks? People always say something about the dirt, you know, conditions and things like that. Is that pretty common?
There's
to each track.
Yeah, you know, and I'm yes. It every all dirts are different, you know, and that's the thing is that you get out in the Midwest, you see the black dirt.
Right.
If you get back east, you see the red clay out here.
Red clay, yeah.
Yep. And out here we have a lot of gypsum. We don't really have clay in the track. They'll refer to it as clay unless you go to a place like Mojave Valley, which gets their soil out of a river, basically. So it's sediment, and so it has clay in it. So they have different soil down there, or even Cocopah Speedway. So, but it's all different. It's different everywhere. It takes different things. And, you know, you talk to Toby Cruz, is a good buddy of mine, and him and Dave Wolf back in Marshalltown Speedway, which has one of the most phenomenal surfaces and some of the best racing you'll ever see in your entire life. And you talk to them about prepping the track, and they'll tell you, we don't do the same thing every week.
Right.
You know, it all depends. There's so many variables. And, it's a magic.
You got to be a weatherman. You got to be a meteorologist.
Right.
I mean, how much water? Not enough water. Move the dirt up. Bring the dirt down. Turn it over. You know, one, and I will still say it, Chad Broadhead, one of the best. I mean, we raced out there for years, and he always provided us great tracks when he took over the track, I think going on 6 years now, could be 7, but Chad always, you know, it wasn't the same, but he just provided great racing surface for us week in and week out. And we run down there 19, 20, 21 races a year from February to November.
That's the thing too, where a lot of times you know, the average race fan thinks that you just walk into a racetrack, you open up the gates,
right,
you start selling your hot dogs and you bring your fans in and it's not, you know, I can guarantee you Chad was out there throughout the week for hours and hours and hours on the track. And that's the part that people don't appreciate is the amount of work that goes into a racing event, even like at the Bullring and stuff, you know, it doesn't happen an hour before the gates open.
Yeah. Right. It was Saturday. We had races. Sunday went to church. Monday morning, he was back out at the track.
Yep.
Starting for the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, right. He was very, I give him credit. He was very attentive to that track. He took pride on it when he provided good racing for the racers and for the fans.
Right. And like, you know, like you said, Chet, it's something that you don't just open the doors, even out at an asphalt track. You don't think of track prep as the same as dirt. Obviously it's not, but the operations prep is still enormous. You know, that happens every day, probably up till the time they open up the gates. And, you know, if there's Tim had to deal with this year, a lot of rain delays, things like that.
Yeah, who saw that one coming in the desert? Yeah. I was watching that happen on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, rain out? Are you kidding?
Two.
Yeah, where is this?
Two. Two nights.
Yeah,
we were bumped.
Yeah, one was a touring, if not both were a touring division.
And also we were threatened for rain when they had the rigs in from Canada.
That's right.
You gotta run them, man.
I mean, what are
coming in from Canada?
Those are some tough decisions you got to make. I would hate to be in his shoes during those times, you know.
Beginning the season, he had Spears Southwest Tour come in right at the, it was March. And they had to get him in.
Yeah, and they actually did run. The other divisions, though, I think that night.
We got bumped.
Yeah,
all the local divisions got bumped, and he got
lucky. The rain kind of passed.
You know, these guys
are
coming from Northern California. You know, and he did a hell of a job. He got the whole season in. We got all our races, doubled up the nights, and did fantastic. It was we had three double nights.
Ask any of these old guys how they felt on them double nights. Gary, no, I'm just kidding.
I ran two of them.
Arlie, even one of you guys' teammates, you know, now I'm not calling him old, but
yes,
he got out of the car just really beat after the second main, and that's just his long night for
Arlie
like
and
a
I
bomber.
I ran two double nights out there. Arlie and I sat next to each other for 5 minutes,
right?
And we didn't get out of the car. We were just we were just friggin' beat.
You know, and you're talking about a bomber division, which most people think, you know, hey, bomber division is like a beginner division or, you know, entertainment, but that's a lot of driving. Some of these other divisions, they're hard to drive, but they're set up. They have special race equipment that helps them turn. The bombers don't.
Yeah.
You got to drive these things every corner. So got to hand it to you guys.
I had my water bottle.
Don't you usually have a water bottle and a cigarette in your hand? Okay.
That was the one time we went red on the backstretch.
Okay.
Now, I won't do it in front of the kids in the stand.
Oh, okay.
But we were on the backstretch, and everybody turned their car to the left, okay, down the infield. I went to the right. so the kids couldn't see
just
me.
Just tell them you're vaping.
Always that one.
Different. Vaping's okay.
Always that one driver.
It is.
It was either small. If it went any longer, I would have been in the infield using the bathroom. Okay, I would have got out of the car and went to the infield bathroom down there. That was a long red.
You know, that's I haven't experienced a lot of that in the bomber, so maybe next year we'll see what happens.
How old are you?
Need to get Chet. You guys need to get Chet in one of your bombers.
We talked about that before. I don't drive anybody's race car.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of crashing it.
You like being on the outside.
I do. Yep. That's me.
Well, I mean, that's what you do. That realistically, that's your profession, is your voice and your announcing
knowledge.
His
humor, his wit, his quick-wittedness, his common sense.
I'm not paying enough.
Look at
you guys for this. Yeah, this is the marketing.
I'm
available for parties and bar mitzvahs.
I'm sorry for those who hadn't heard it before when we had Chet on. Heard Chet very first time down in Pahrump, and Chet Christner is a natural.
Well, now listen,
he is a natural.
Jay, you've actually done some announcing, and if you haven't, I challenge anybody to try it. It's not easy. I've tried it, and I've ruined a couple racers' nights announcing out at Pahrump in the past. But you've done it before. You did a great job, and Chet, you know, obviously, you know what's involved and how hard it is. And I mean, obviously for you.
I think it's like anything else. I love it. I love being around races. I love watching racing. I love talking to racers. I would say that's probably, you know, more than half of it's just walking around the pits, chatting with people. I just like talking. I just like hearing stories. And like we visited before this whole radio show started, that's, I like that type of thing. And I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, a lot of announcers that do well are fans, are massive fans at heart. And I think that's true. Maybe not even just for announcers. Cause as soon as I said that, I thought about the guys that I work with Darren and Nate and, you know, that run cameras and do production stuff. And they're just huge race fans. They just love racing. Yep. And I think anytime you're passionate about something, it's not a job and it's fun and you'll be very good at it.
You know, and that is great, especially being behind a camera or even behind a mic when you're talking to racers or watching racing, because you tend to get the best shots, ask the best questions, or, you know, end up with the best results in your you know, because you guys actually don't televise it, but you
broadcast it. We broadcast live online. Everything's over the internet. We do, you know, people ask about that, whether a TV station or something of that nature. But with the internet, what a lot of people forget about, and I think it's where TV's going, is our audience is literally the world.
The world.
We have people watch from all over the world, and especially you get into the sprint car stuff and things like that, probably 30% of our audience is sitting in Australia and New Zealand, which if we were a cable channel, they couldn't watch. You would miss that part of a very passionate fan base. So.
And it's on demand, and they have
it's live. We do live. We do live and on demand.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. TV.com.
That's correct. Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, you guys only had like a few people last year.
Yeah, we've actually added a few, and I think going into this next year, we're going to have to add more.
I think that was because of the announcing abilities.
Yeah, I don't know.
They want more chat.
Yeah.
I don't think calling in. And, him alone.
He's my fan club. Like, literally, that's the whole fan club there.
He buys all your t-shirts.
I'll admit it. I'll admit it.
Hey, you're blushing. JJ, you're blushing.
It is true. I mean, I have announced before.
Right. It's
and
funny.
I do admire what Chet does. I've listened to him time and time again in Pahrump, over at the Bullring, NASCAR race, and he's just like our last interview. You know, I asked it, I felt you're going to be one of the first ones to be tapped for ESPN or MRN, you know. Mm-hmm.
But
that's,
like you said,
and that's how high esteem that, you know, I put you. You are fantastic.
Oh, I appreciate
that. You do.
And, you're real high on that pedestal right now. I just got to say. But that's something you said you weren't really interested in going.
No, I turned down that opportunity.
You actually have had it, but you love short track racing.
I do. I like dirt track racing. I like all forms of motorsports. I say that, and I have a really good time announcing truck and tractor pulls, and I do some drag racing and stuff like that too. But I had the opportunity to go the NASCAR route, and that was actually while I was still at the Bullring. And I turned it down. I said no. And I just didn't. That's not for me. I like having fun. And I like doing the NASCAR race here in Vegas. And I actually do a race in St. Louis, too. I'm doing IndyCar in St. Louis next year. And that's very professional and very poised. And it's a totally different announcing thing. And I enjoy it for the uniqueness of it. But if I were to do that week after week, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm the local dirt track guy that hoots and hollers and has a good time. And you can't do that when you're announcing NASCAR or IndyCar.
And St.
Louis, is that with Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gateway Motorsports Park.
Yeah, Gateway Motorsports. Yep.
Yeah, I go out there. I do the Streetcar Super Nationals, a big drag race, which is like Street Outlaws. Everybody watches Street Outlaws. Well, that's the legal version of it. And then I also do their truck race out there. And then they have an IndyCar race. They're added to the IndyCar schedule next year, and so I'll be announcing that race. That's June. Sometime mid-June, but you can buy your tickets now for that. But
Chris is building the heck.
Oh my goodness! Facility itself is just so awesome. The location of it, right outside St. Louis, when you look off the grandstands at the NASCAR track, you're looking at the arch and the bridges in downtown St. Louis. It's absolutely amazing. But the track races really well too, and I know that's a critique of a lot of asphalt tracks is that, you know, they're one lane or whatever, and it is very much not one lane there. I've seen some incredible truck races there, and you can go back and watch the highlights on YouTube of truck races down there. That it's a neat joint. There's no doubt about it.
Along with the drag strip, man.
Yeah,
bro. I mean, it's a lot of the NHRA drivers' favorite tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They really like that track.
We set like a stupid number. This year it wasn't so much because they switched back to eighth mile, but the year before we were still running quarter mile, and we were breaking records, wow, like mile per hour and ET records like crazy that year. And it was just, the track is phenomenal. Just the elevation of it, I guess the sitting and the track prep and everything else.
The time of year and temp.
Yeah.
A lot goes into drag racing with right. the time of year and temp.
Yep.
I mean, they carry meteorologists on their frigging team.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Everybody walking around with a little wing gauge.
It all adds up.
Right. Exactly. Hey, let's speak about your SpeedShift TV. You are part of SpeedShiftTV.com. Mm-hmm. What's your role and your other guys' roles? I mean, is it
because
you're nationwide? I mean, you talk to go in the stands, to the pits.
We do. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
I'm always
are
in
you
pit.
Just West Coast and certain
negative
events, or are you just
no,
you're all
we're
over
all over the place.
Just, okay.
We start, well, this year is a prime example. We started down at Cocopah Speedway for Winter Heat Sprint Car Showdown. From there, we flew to Florida and did USAC at Bubba Raceway Park. Nice. And then it literally, when people ask, I say we are coast to coast and border to border. And we literally cover that much territory. But I'm an announcer. I mainly announce. I'm public relations, too. So I talk to just people, tracks and stuff like that, and do what public relations things do. And then we also do social media. One of the big things with a misconception about what we do is people think of us as a broadcast company, because that's obviously a huge part of it. But what we really are is a marketing company. And we come into an event, Beatrice Spring Nationals is a good example in Beatrice, Nebraska. We come in and we broadcast that event, and we do all the social media for it. We do the broadcast itself. Wow. We put out highlights.
Okay.
We help design flyers and do different things like that and put them out. And then hopefully that event grows. And whenever we do a broadcast, the profit, whenever we make a profit, that profit is split with the facility itself. So they have an income coming for that. So it's kind of odd because it goes against everything that you would think of a marketing company. Whereas you don't pay us to come in and market your event. We pay you to come in and market your event.
You're the kind of company all tracks should be calling.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that the other part of it is we try to work with the track and help them too, because a lot of the little dirt tracks or local tracks, maybe they don't understand how to use social media to their advantage. You see a lot of stuff about negative social media.
Sure.
And the reality of it is that's easily managed. And you just have to know a little bit what you're doing and come into it with a professional demeanor. And you can easily manage your social media and not have negativity on your social media. Now, you can't control what other people are doing on their own stuff.
Right.
But as far as your page itself, you can keep it professional and stuff like that. So we try to help tracks out with things like that. But
So is it typically special events, or do you have tracks where you do every event of the season?
Yeah, we do primarily special events. Okay. It's almost all special events. The only track that is an exception to that is Marshalltown Speedway. And with Marshalltown Speedway, if we could broadcast there weekly, we would. And the fact of the matter is it's because the racing there is so good. The names that they have, the talent pool at Marshalltown Speedway, if you follow IMCA Racing, are names that are known nationwide. And that's where they're...
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the track. Yeah. Where is that track?
It's in Marshalltown, Iowa. It's Central Iowa. Central Iowa Fairgrounds actually is where it's located. Wow. And it's a tight little... I think it's I don't know if it's
maybe
quarter or three-eighths. It's kind of in between the two.
Between
yeah. Third-ish. But it's high-banked. And if they are not four and five wide racing that night for a big portion of the night, then something's horribly awry.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
four
crazy.
Five, really?
It is. It's insane. We've seen, we actually have some highlight videos from that track that we put out. There was one gentleman, man, I wish I could remember his name, but he lost the left front off, knocked the left front off of it. And darn near transferred into the feature event with no left front tire on the car.
Freewheeling it.
And that highlight reel alone has reached like 1.5 million people,
wow,
or a little over that, and it's just some of the highlights from that tracker. Just get on our Facebook page and look it up, or our YouTube. We have a YouTube channel too, and you can find, just do a search for Marshalltown Speedway and watch some of that. But the track is phenomenal. But that is a track that people will watch weekly because they know what they're getting. But most tracks, if you broadcast weekly, you're not really.
Right.
It's not, beneficial to broadcast. It's beneficial to record and put out little highlights and news stuff, but not necessarily to broadcast, because a broadcast audience, the people that will watch the broadcast, are people that can't make it to the track in local racing. They're going to be there.
Right.
You know,
that's
but
true.
A special, yeah.
Watch the race.
But like if you do a special, like at the Bullring, if the Spears Southwest Tour comes in, they have a lot of friends and family back home that can't travel to Las Vegas, and they will watch a broadcast.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way to look at it, I guess. Now, to get to your social media, can we go to speedshifttv.com and get to the YouTube videos?
Yeah, just do a search for Speedshift.
Okay.
And we're on literally Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Fuse, which is a new social media that's out now.
I can't keep up. He's still on MySpace, obviously. But I can't even keep
up. We don't really maintain that anymore.
Well, it almost like he's going to be seeing my job.
No.
I'll invite him over one day.
There you go. You can show him some stuff. That's you would ask about the other people that work with me. There's a couple key people, and since I'm on here, I like talking about them. But Darren Shanley is a good friend of mine, and he was the one that was really instrumental in starting Speedshift, and he does all the technical aspect of it as far as, you know, built the website and takes care of all the technology that we use and stuff, and he's constantly working on those things. Haley Pratt is part of us, too, and she takes care of a lot of the marketing. She's a producer and is a good graphic designer and a web designer and a little bit of everything, and then Nate Hartman is another one that came on. I guess he's been with us going on, it'll soon be 2 years. And he was just a fan that watched our broadcast. Okay. And he said,
I love hearing stories like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, this is the best part about it. Is he watched all of our broadcasts from the word go. Like, he was always on there. He was always in the chat. And I was always talking to him. And he sent us a message. He said, I want to work with you guys. And we said, well, do you have any experience in broadcasting? He's like, nope. We're like, perfect.
Hey, we all speak the same
awesome.
Thing. Right.
Yeah.
Nope.
And we said, well, come on down, meet us, and actually Beatrice Spring Nationals. He showed up down there in, I think it was that or September. Is it Beatrice? I know for sure. But we said, well, have you ever run a camera? Nope. So we kind of showed him a little bit. And he grabbed the camera and was like a natural. Like,
that's
he
cool.
Just instantly from the word go was we were like, well, okay, you're on board. And
wow.
So, yeah, he's
that's
been with
really
us ever
cool.
Since. And now I would put him up there. He's probably one of the top camera guys in motorsports. Yeah.
Wow.
And it just was all just a passion. You know, he just likes, he knows more about racing and what, if you're looking for anything, if you're looking for, hey, where did so-and-so finish down in Florida? I thought he was running Florida. No, he wasn't running Florida. He's running Tennessee. He finished third.
Oh,
was,
that's,
you know, he just,
yeah. That's a good person to have on board.
Yep. Yep, he's a good dude.
So I think, like you had mentioned, like even announcing, you know, not on behind the camera or anything like that, but just announcing races and stuff. Sometimes you sit there and announce, but you don't really see who's, you know, if somebody asks you who finished first.
Yeah, I never remember.
Yeah, you don't know because you're spur of the moment. You're out there. You're
yep,
just
stream of consciousness.
There you go. Exactly.
Yep.
Stream of consciousness. That's how we roll here. So we get by week to week. So, but the Jay story too. He used to be on our radio show back in the day as a fan. Into
and that's how I ended up. Yeah. And just, you know, they had a trivia question out, and I knew the answer. Called up. They said, come on down, pick up your prize. And the next Tuesday, I picked up my prize. And then the next thing I knew, I was behind a microphone.
Really? That's how it happened.
They said, wow, you know a lot about NASCAR. I said, yeah. I said, NASCAR, NHRA. I says, I love racing. They says, okay, come on. What do you think about this? And they asked me a question. I said, oh, well, I went opposite of what the two guys thought at the time, Jesse and T-Man. And they said, ooh, a different opinion. Come on. And I was in the studio.
That's
next
awesome.
Thing, and didn't get out of it.
Well, how long did you do that show?
2.5 years.
Really?
2.5 years. We did it for 9 months with Jesse, Tracy, T-Man, and myself. And then Jesse dropped out, and T-Man and I carried it on. Tracy, Lennon, and I.
Now, was that here or was that in New York?
That was at KLAV 1230.
Okay.
Right here, right here in Las Vegas. Yep, AM.
Oh. I think your nickname was Lugnut. Lugnut.
It was T-Man and Lugnut.
Right.
So
I do remember
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
You know, we had one change of time. We went from Tuesdays to Thursdays to prep for the weekend. And Yeah, it was 2.5 years. Had a blast doing it. A lot of work.
That's awesome.
A lot of research because it wasn't like this. It's not. Wasn't like this show.
Yeah, you guys did.
We
it was more professional. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, easy, man. Easy.
No, we covered NASCAR. We covered Busch. You know, we covered the trucks at the time, Craftsman Trucks, Winston Cup, NHRA. We had Off-Road Bill that come in that covered all the off-road races. That's when you had Southern Nevada.
Snore.
Or Snore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Score, Southern California. We had Kathy Clark in. We had
Cindy
George,
Clark.
Cindy Clark from the Super Late Models. George Antel was rolling with his Super Late Model and rolling with trucks. It was just so much the research that we had to do
and, you know,
each week to stay on top of what was going on. It was tremendous.
For, that's why we keep the show the way we like it. It's like you to moving up and moving forward. I mean, not that, that you're not doing anything now. We like to talk about racing. That's what we love to do, and that's how we
yeah,
like the show. We don't,
you know, all the way around, you know, whatever it is.
We like talking to guys like
racing.
You and drivers and different things. Like we like talking about ourselves.
Our dogs, animals, food, whatever.
Yeah.
And or how old some people get yesterday.
By the way, Chet, you may not know, but this show is 5 years old.
Yep.
Really?
As of November,
that's awesome.
We are the longest running motorsports show in Las Vegas.
Locally. That is awesome.
Locally here.
That's 5 years.
And see, that's because you guys have a good time. You're good friends.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it goes right back to the very first thing I talked about.
You know, and obviously these guys, you know, Gary especially goes out of his way to talk to guys like yourself and other drivers.
Bother
like
you all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. It doesn't bother me at all.
What it is Jay's keeps telling you, did you get him?
I was stoked when I saw the message. I was driving back from Kokopah. We did the Turkey Classic down there, and I was driving through the middle of the desert, and you – don't have a cell phone signal for a lot, and all of a sudden I got a cell phone signal, and think your message popped up, and I was like, ah, sweet, I know what this is.
No, that was Mike's reside. Gary had texted Mike.
Oh yeah, that's exactly right.
Because
sweet.
He texted back, sweet. I texted that S W E E E E E exclamation exclamation.
Yeah, then he was like, ah.
I said, finally somebody. Now we've had a few cancellations, you know, just all the way up until Monday or something. And
oh, and so you, I was last.
No.
Guy.
No,
I'm
sorry. I'm okay with it. Actually, we didn't have nobody for this weekend until I seen you were coming to Vegas, and
okay.
That's when I.
So last resort.
No, not last resort.
We'll leave it at that.
No.
I think last resort is Kokopah your last race of your announcing season? Is that like
no.
The beginning?
We did last year. We ended it down there, but this year we got a great race, and I'm stoked about it. It's the second annual. Junior Nepper 55, and it's an indoor midget race. It's a USAC midgets, and it's an indoor race in Illinois. And last year, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won it.
No, really?
And so the talent that is there is just insane.
I've watched videos on that, and then they did some pretty tight racing.
Because
it's inside of a stadium, basically stadium racing.
Yep.
They put dirt in, and they get flipping and hitting the walls, and it's pretty cool.
And it's the good thing about Justin Allgaier runs in that one too, but you get a lot of big names because it's kind of a tune up for the Chili Bowls, how I think of it. But, there's not much else going on at that time. I mean, there's a big indoor late model and modified race at Gateway in the old football stadium. They're having that. This will be the first year for that, the Gateway Dirt Nationals. And I'm going to watch that for two nights, but then the Junior Nepper's on Saturday and it's in DuQuoin, Illinois. So just right down the street.
Well, what is your schedule, I guess? You know, I mean, are you busy month to month?
Yeah, it's in years past, we've always had kind of December off, and then this year that is not the case.
Wow.
So we're teamed up with 6-2 Graphics out of Blooming Prairie, Minnesota, good friends of ours that did a wrap on our camper and just got to know him, and we're going to go to PRI and hang out with him. And so SpeedShift TV will be at PRI if anybody's out there and wants to come visit or whatever. And we'll hobnob and shake some babies and kiss some hands. Or, I mean, kiss some hands and shake whatever.
babies, no matter what.
But we'll be out there for that's next weekend. Wow. And then the weekend after that is the Junior Nepper. And then I'll go home for maybe like 2 weeks, I think it is, about 11 days for Christmas. And then we wing our way up to Wisconsin, and we'll be covering ice oval racing, snowmobile ice oval racing in Wisconsin for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then we're back down to Arizona for the Winter Challenge at Canyon Speedway and the Desert Classic and a whole bunch of other stuff. Yeah.
And I would imagine you get more requests than you can handle, even today.
We do. We do. And that's the – you hate turning down shows,
right.
But you also can't do absolutely everything. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, if you want to keep the quality that you guys put out,
that's
you have
the
to control
key.
It.
Yep. And we are – very fastidious about maintaining the quality of our broadcast. We want to have whenever you watch our broadcast, we want it to be the best one out there as far as the quality of it and stuff. And so you can't just hire anybody and have them, work for you and because you lose control of your quality that way. And that's the big thing.
Now with your marketing and working with the promoters of the track, have you found in the past 2 years that you have smaller tracks that you have worked at, other promoters, and getting called up and say, hey, you were at so-and-so, he referred. Are you getting referrals like that? Could be taking on even more races?
Oh, yeah. We get referrals from people, and that's one of our strong suits is that we tell anybody that is thinking about working with us, feel free to contact any promoter we've worked with in the past. We have absolutely nothing to hide, and you can talk to any promoter we've worked with in the past, and we know that we'll get a good recommendation from them because, we work really hard to maintain our relationships and stuff. The other cool thing about, for me, is that our deals with one or two exceptions where they had to have paperwork for whatever reason, it's all handshake. We shake hands, and we give you our word, that we're going to be good to our word. We have never broken our word. On a deal like that.
Old school.
And we're very, very proud of that because there's not a lot of business that's done that way anymore. And for us to tell somebody that, we're going to be there and we're going to do your race for you and we're going to do a good job or, as best as we are able and to follow up on that is, that's us. That's your value as a human, I think.
Absolutely.
Word of mouth and referrals and with all the racetracks out there, like you said, you can't do all of them, but you built a steady base right now and can only but expand on it. And like Mike asked, you're looking to build more crew, have more.
Yeah, we definitely have to employees. Definitely have to this coming year just because we're getting so many more big shows. I'd love to tell you about some of in my mind. I have like this calendar and I'm like, oh man, it's going to be such a great year, but I can't really talk about them until the track schedules are out
yet,
because we know about stuff before the public knows. And, but there's a lot of promoters out there that have really, really helped us. I think of Greg Burgess, when I say that was at Kokopah Speedway, he's now at Longdale Speedway in Oklahoma. And, he believes in us. I honestly feel like he believes in us and he's a heck of a promoter. And, he's included us in some things. We were able to go to the Knoxville Nationals at Knoxville, Iowa and be a part of, they had symposiums and we were actually involved in I was just there, but Haley and Darren took part in two different symposiums in the Sprint Car Hall of Fame Museum. And that was, Greg was got us in for one of them. And then Haley, it was through somebody that invited her to be one there for women in motorsports. And so, that's what we are as Speed Shift is we worked really hard for it and stuff too, but we have people out there that are pulling for us and help us also that there's a lot of credit where those people know who they are and we thank and appreciate them more than they will ever know. But, it's a neat deal. It's a small community. Racing is a small community.
Right.
And,
right.
And that helps tremendously.
Well, when you say racing, you're talking about mostly like oval track type racing.
I'm talking about anything.
Have you guys thought about, you said you do other things besides the dirt tracks and stuff like that. Do you guys plan on expanding into those areas like
tractor
pulls or whatever it might be?
Right now, with dirt track racing, the popularity of dirt track racing and oval track racing in general, there's word on ice oval, which is different, but it's oval racing. And it's still a lot of the same guys. Like we'll see names up there that run street stocks or whatever in the summer, but they race sleds in the winter. And, there's been talk of going to drag racing and broadcasting some other things too, but we're just so busy with what we have now that it's not, But so far, we haven't made that move.
Right.
But as far as like the winter, I said that I do Streetcar Super Nationals. That's announced. I'll announce some a couple races on the side just for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do a little freelance work here.
Even
and there.
If it's not televised or broadcast,
yeah.
I guess. I
yeah.
Say,
if it's big shows and stuff okay. and people ask me to do it, is it, you know, then.
Are there
yeah.
any particular type of racing that you like or maybe even dislike announcing, like late models versus like IMCA? Modifieds or street stocks versus something else.
You know what's funny about that? And the thing that always comes up is four cylinders. Everybody's like, "Oh, four cylinders. I'm gonna
like
go.
Four cylinders.
I'm gonna go get a hot dog or whatever."
Background.
And see, that's the thing is, I love mini stock racing or sport compact. I love racing. I don't care what it is. And that's I have just as much fun with sport compacts as I do with modifieds or sprint cars or. I don't care if my sprint cars have a wing on them or don't have a wing on. I don't care if it's racing or motorsports. I love drag racing. I love tractor pulls. I like anything.
Speaking of that, you said you've done tractor pulls.
Mm-hmm.
Did I or did I not see somewhere you did some RC tractor
I
pulls?
I was just there watching that.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, that goes back to how much I love motorsports.
Okay.
I'm at the Iowa State Fair.
I thought you announced it. I'm sorry.
No. I was the Iowa State Fair is an incredible state fair. I absolutely positively love it. And it's the number one state fair in the nation, just for the record. I don't care who is from Minnesota, like this, you know who I'm talking about, that has Bayou Bob's Gator Shack is a great place to eat at the Minnesota State Fair. If you get up there, that is no joke, man. That is freaking incredible. But I like the Iowa State Fair. But they had I was reading a flyer. I was like, okay, I got this day off. I was in Iowa, and I thought, wondering what's going on. And it was the NMM TPA tractor pulls, truck and tractor pulls. And that is the, I don't know what it all stands for, but it's basically, it's RC.
Wow.
It's RC
That's
truck and tractor
awesome.
Pulls, and it is legit.
First of all, I've never heard of that.
I thought you announced it.
But that was, I was like, I have got to see that. And
right.
So I drove like 2 hours to get down there to see it. And I went for
That's
that pull and then walked around the fair a little bit, and then I left. But it was absolutely incredible. I mean, these guys hand-build and everything else, and there's different classes.
Amazing.
And what's crazy about it, this will blow your mind, is they had to have a pull-off in the super modified class, and they're running these things like 18,000 RPM and all this other crap.
These little trucks.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But they had a pull-off, and when they had the pull-off, they were pulling a little over 800 pounds. With an RC car. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's on
the pulling
track is a bowling alley. It's a repurposed bowling alley.
Wow.
And then they pull with slicks on the tractors, but they use different compounds and different things, and they'll sand
That's
them and different
crazy.
Stuff. And that, but they have to have some wheel spin to it, obviously. But yeah. It was incredible.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Again, I thought I had seen somewhere where you were talking, and I thought you were announcing that.
No, not that.
You
but
just,
I was just there as a fan. I'll tell you what. One thing announcing it instills confidence in you to walk around like you own the place when you're at a motorsports event. And so they're having this little mini tractor pull, and it's on a stage, and we're all sitting out in the crowd. And I was like, I can't really see well enough from down here. And I was like, I'm just going to walk up on the stage. And so I went out and walked around the stairs and walked up there and got out my camera and stuff and was taking pictures. And they were like, oh, how you doing? I was right up on the stage. So if you get on the Facebook page and look at it,
That's
you're like, wow, he was right there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just walking. And nobody ever tried to kick me off or anything. It was just like, some dude with a camera.
You obviously wasn't with JJ. If you were with JJ, you ain't got two steps.
You don't. Yeah.
See the rap I
did. Yeah.
Give it to you once in a while.
Next, I mean, RC cars, next time we know you're coming in, I'll bring some old Hot Wheel tracks.
There you go.
I'll set up a slot car track right on the table.
We'll let you
awesome.
Announce it, huh?
You can announce our slot car racing. There you go. RC truck pull.
It is. You have to get up. There's videos on my Facebook page. If you dig back in there, you'll find it. But yeah.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, of all the different tracks and stuff, you've been in a lot of different announcers' booths. Who's got some of the better ones, and what sets? I know that's a weird question, but hey, I want to know.
Yeah.
Sets some aside from others at different tracks.
You know, one of the nicest announcer booths that I've ever been in is out here at the dirt track at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Okay, really?
And it's a shame because it's only used twice a year.
I know.
And it's very, very nice announcers' booth.
I mean, what makes it different from, let's say,
the counter Man, we're getting into technical stuff, people. Hey, what you care about, I'll tell you.
Okay.
A lot of it is the counter width, and how far back from the window it is. And so it's actually, the counter width is perfect for your laptop, but it's back from the window far enough you can get your cords and stuff back behind and things like that.
Yeah,
and then as far as the view of the track, if your windows are unimpeded, that you don't have to work around a pillar or a column or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Hey.
Question about your cameraman, Darren?
Darren and Nate.
And, and he just picked up the camera and went. How closely do you guys feed off each other? Did it take time for him to adjust to what he needs to film for you to announce, or
I'll tell you, or you just pick up
here's what he's filming?
The funny thing about that is I like to announce whenever I'm working with, whether it's Darren on the camera or Haley or Nate or whoever it is out on the camera. I like to be next to the camera guy, and the reason I do that is because they listen. They have the audio piped into the camera. They're piped into their headset so they can listen, and they'll follow me sometimes, but if I see them swing the camera, I will follow them.
Right.
And that it all depends, and then that way you have kind of two spotters on the track, and then we pride ourselves on showing the whole field. A lot of times a broadcast or whatever, even if it's on NASCAR or something like that, you end up watching the same two cars for lap after lap after lap. And they're talking about, and we try to go where the action is and try to show the whole field. And so, it's just it's a rhythm that we kind of fall into, and it works really well. But I think it's getting along with somebody. It's being the team and kind of knowing what the other person's thinking before they do it. Cool. You know, and that's,
Get anybody to ever come up to you and say, hey, can you kind of keep the camera on me tonight? Not too much of that.
We have people that ask, stuff. They'll have something special going on in their life, and they'll ask us to do something, a shout out.
Yeah.
And,
that's cool.
You know, whether they have family watching in Georgia or something like that. And can you tell them I said hi? And it's like, yeah, not a problem. We love doing stuff like that. Right. We love being interactive.
Anniversaries.
Yep.
But
anything.
You are always going to the pits and find stories.
Yeah.
You know, say hello to the drivers. Got any new sponsors? You know, you got anything going on special tonight that, you know, you always did that. You always interacted with all the drivers that were out there.
I try as many as possible. I mean, that's what gives you your information. That's what you talk about. You know, you have to have a little.
He would always avoid our pits because we were always
sometimes
out there too far.
Well, you can only walk so far. You know, you guys like being out in the middle of the desert for some reason.
And there is talk around about you guys. So have you passed on anything that you've learned or you've picked up from the other announcers that you work with?
Have I passed it on to anyone else?
Let's say tips or, you know,
I do.
Habits,
you know, my
and things like that.
My there's two, Bob Fry that announced NHRA for years and years and years is my ultimate favorite announcer. And everybody's like, who's your favorite announcer? And it's a drag racing announcer, but I thought he's retired now, but he is phenomenal. I loved his delivery. I loved his knowledge. I like how he explained the sport to people without making you feel stupid, you know.
Yeah. He was basic and had a great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Very, very witty. And just he's an awesome, awesome individual. And I was happy to be able to meet him and work with him a little bit, you know, on a couple occasions, though. But my true mentor in this, and for whatever reason we get confused for each other all the time, is Toby Cruz. And Toby has taught me far more than I probably forgot, you know, more than what he's taught, more than I ever remembered from what he has taught me. But just as far as like pacing and different things, and I really enjoy announcing NASCAR with him because that's his forte, is the very, very professional stuff. But I've learned a lot just from being around him, you know, and that so that would be my two. I don't know that I've helped any announcers.
I guess if you ask somebody else, they'll tell you something different.
Yeah.
Question, what do you go to with downtime on the track? See, that's one of the biggest things where, you know, it's important to have something going on or hearing something over the speakers. You know, is there a go-to or an higher energy level that you hit when you know there's downtime on the track,
as far as with our broadcast, if we're doing a big broadcast or multi-camera, we do multi-camera broadcasts and stuff like that, or we have production, then if there's going to be something that's going to be a lot of downtime, we'll go to segments or commercials We do run a couple commercials. People can advertise with SpeedShift TV. And
that's good to know.
We do, you know, either audio reads or video or whatever, but we'll do segments too. We'll go down into the pits and record interviews and things like that. If it's a smaller broadcast, sometimes we do, we call it a one-man jamboree, where it's just a one-man broadcast or a one
right.
camera, and in which case we don't have production. It's just me announcing in the camera. Whenever you have that time to kill, you know, you can talk about upcoming things and different stuff like that. But if it's a really long downtime, we will just play music for the people at home, because you can't
right.
you can't keep babbling on about nothing,
right?
For one thing. But
that gets old.
Yeah. But on that note, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we're good friends with Dirt on Dirt, which is another broadcast company. I do late models. And Michael Rigsby from Dirt on Dirt did a segment on – he has a kind of a podcast deal that he does. And he did a segment about tracks, about how you have to manage your time. You can't have a bunch of downtime.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that is – short track racing is in a little bit of trouble right now. And I think that one of the places that they easily could fix some of that is through time management. People are so used to things happening quickly and efficiently, and that if there's a lot of downtime, they get frustrated and you will lose fans. I've seen fans walk out of facilities before the feature events even ran, just simply because there was so much downtime or there was an intermission or something like that. But I think that tracks really, really, really need to focus on — my magic number is 3 hours. It can't be longer than 3 hours.
I think you're right. I agree. When I look at a show, I look at the schedule. I look at my time. Okay, about 3 hours, I can leave. Like if I go to Havas or somewhere, mm-hmm. I can say, okay, I can either be done with that at this particular time. When it starts running over, you start looking at your clock.
Yep.
You're not even really interested in the show anymore.
Yep.
So you start picking it apart.
People want to see the victor, the trophy given, a few words, that car heading off the track, and the other one's coming on.
Yep. That should be happening at the same time.
What they want. That winner going off, he breaks the gate for the mm-hmm. pits, and the other ones are coming on.
Well, and that downtime is, you know, I mean, what do you fill it with? I mean, you know, raffles or, you know, things
yeah.
like that. Sometimes they try to throw in these things that piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, well, what the hell? We're here to watch racing.
Yeah.
Why are we watching this? So that's a tough balance to
yep.
kind of come up with on entertaining those downtimes, you know. So got to hand it to you guys for kind of coming up with a plan to be able to do that.
Yeah, well, that's
so.
Yeah, we are at the mercy of the track, but there's far more good tracks out there than bad tracks.
Right.
I can tell you that. And there's a lot of — I hope people go out and support their local racetracks, because they may not be around, you know. They have to have support.
I know.
And it's not a battle with getting fans. It's a battle with the people that surround the track and are not race fans. And that's what I see that post come out, and that's one of my pet peeves, is there's this post that has Hoosier on the bottom of it or whatever, but they talk about, you know, so many dirt tracks, so many fans, blah, 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 and it's more than NASCAR, NFL, and that. No, it's not. It's not. Somebody's doing math wrong, because if you look at, I forget how many tracks there are now. I wrote this out in a post one time on Facebook, but I looked in the track directory, and there's like 1,200 tracks, and if you figure everybody's getting – you know, 1,000 people, well, that's
right.
still not even 1% of the U.S. population.
Wow.
You know, and that's so there's a lot of people that don't care about racing that could easily shut a track down just on noise complaints alone.
Right.
And so that's what you need yep. to get out and support your track and be vocal and take people to the races
yeah.
with you.
And that's part of it, is not knowing, like, and that's something that I've always talked about in the past, is from the announcers being able to get the information about the cars, not just the drivers. I think you had even mentioned in the past about your job is to introduce the fans with the drivers, or
mm-hmm.
the drivers with the fan.
They
know,
have to, you have
to know the, you know.
Yep, personify it. They have to be a fan of the person, not the vehicle.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, we can all look at a number 65 and love it and all that, but we got to know the old man behind the wheel.
That's one thing, though, a hats off to you guys, like with the Bomber Nation. That was something you guys always did, was try to engage fans and get people on your side and have a good time and hoot and holler a little bit, and like the whole water in Victory Lane. I remember stuff like that, too. And that, but you know, I mean, that's what it takes. That's what it's there. People are like, they have a good time. I'm their fan. I love those guys, you know, and that's what it takes. That's how you build the sport.
And that's something I've always liked about
the kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
The kids. I remember being 9, 10 years old and attaching the drivers. You know, you entertain the kids. The kids, guess what? Mom and dad love their kids. You love
yep.
their kids, they're going to love you.
Yep.
Bottom line.
Well, the fans these days are millennials. Their attention span are like 10-year-olds sometimes. they want stuff now, like you said. You know,
well, it is.
They want it now. And
the worst part about it is I think I've turned into a millennial, too.
Yeah.
on my phone, if I'm looking at something and it doesn't come up within the, whatever my time allotment is, I'm like, I'm done with that. I'm no longer interested.
I know. It's funny. Like, you get a text or something. You know, somebody's like, hey, you know. They haven't texted me back. It's only been like 1 minute.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing?
Did
they die?
Right. Are they mad at me? What did I say? Did I word that right?
Chet, you got 5 minutes left. You want to put any sponsors? Anybody say thank you to? You had mentioned earlier, you know, that you had a lot of people that supported you and, you know, give you the opportunity to say, hey, thanks a lot out there. Appreciate it.
You know, that's 5 minutes. I'm not going to fill up 5 minutes because there's a lot of people to thank, but I'm not going to list everybody individually.
You don't have
but
to take up the whole 5 minutes.
Are you the only announcer for Speed Shift? Or
I am.
Do you have somebody?
I am, although Darren has a wicked monster truck voice, but he will never do it on the mic. And I'm like, come on, just once. He's like, nope.
Well, that's a good question because I actually thought there was another announcer that you – both actually went out and did.
No, it's just me for Speed Shift. I work with a couple of different, Jerry Van Sickle out of Iowa. He's actually track announcer at Marshalltown, Iowa, and Boone, Iowa, where Super Nationals are. He's on a fair amount of our broadcasts when we're out in the Midwest. Toby was with me at the Winter Heat, and then, but that's really the only thing he announces anymore.
And some of the tracks you go to, or all of the tracks you go to, do they have their own local announcer?
Oh, they do.
Well?
Yeah. So, and that's, we actually, whenever we do a broadcast, we always tie into the track PA. And then, like, as far as mine, I don't announce the whole night. I'll announce, like, the premier class, one or two classes. And then we always use the track announcer, try to always use the track announcer for at least a couple of the classes, because that is the voice of that track. And we want people to be exposed to that.
Absolutely.
And that, but it gives gives people an idea, because there's a lot of really good announcers out there. And that's what, I know I'm not the best announcer. I don't feel that I'm the best announcer. I know I'm not the best announcer. I'm just the announcer that was in the right place at the right time to do a lot of the stuff that I've done. But there are some phenomenal announcers out there I really enjoy listening to.
Yeah, like at the Duel of the Desert, you had somebody with you.
Toby.
So they travel with that announcer?
No, Toby's actually, he promotes Marshalltown Speedway, Beatrice, Nebraska, 141 Speedway up in Francis Creek, Wisconsin. He has those three tracks, and then he does a lot of big specials. He does the Battle at the Barn, which is a huge indoor go-kart. It's Coke Syrup race. They put Coke Syrup down on the show barn, the horse show barn at the Iowa State Fairgrounds, and there's like 500 entries for that race or something like that. You want to talk about this?
Wow.
Here's some, that's Kenny Wallace described it as fighter jets in your basement. their lap times there are just, it's like low 5 second, high 4 second lap times.
Amazing.
For the big boys in there. Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't know how it doesn't throw their head off.
Really? But, hey, what do we got to look for with Speed Shift TV coming up? We're running out of time, obviously.
A lot of good, big stuff. We're going to be – Junior Nepper 55, join us for that broadcast. We're going to have a good time. We'll be down there with Loud
month?
Pedal. Yeah, it's December 17th.
Okay.
December 17th. It's live on Speed Shift TV, but big indoor midget race. Our season will then start. And if you are a race fan, and I challenge you to enjoy other forms of racing, but the ice over racing up at Eagle River Derby Track, it's the AMSOA World Championship, biggest ice over race in the world. And so that's in January. But yeah, speedshifttv.com/schedule, and you can find our upcoming shows.
We look forward to seeing you next year about the same time.
Yeah,
no doubt. On Thanksgiving.
Whenever you're in town.
But
if you happen to be out here and you want to come back to Vegas,
I know. I know.
Awesome.
You're around Tuesday night, 6 o'clock.
Absolutely.
You don't need an invite. Just drop in.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah,
I always look
it's
forward to this.
Pleasure. You looked sad there for a minute.
Hey, my
you
honor.
Said you were
it's our
Gary, I'm sorry you turned 50. Don't worry, it's all downhill from here.
That's right. We'll all get there someday.
It's been going downhill for a while.
Hey, appreciate it again, Chet. Thank you for being here. You guys want to check out speedshifttv.com and get set up if you have any questions. We'll see you here live on moveNow.com next week. Yeah, thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks for coming, Chet.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.